And she's like, wrecked him, damn near killed him. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, May 30th. We hope you are doing well. We are glad you are here, or we are glad you are listening to this show. If you listen to it later, we have a lot to talk about today. But as we start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
How you doing? Well, because of Sean, thanks, Sean. Made public, which I hate. It was my birthday this week. So,
you turned 25.
Yes. Yeah, definitely 25. I mean, it's not at all 36. At all. So, the point is, Sean either forgets my birthday and then he feels like crap, or he makes it incredibly public and then everything goes downhill from there. So I do not celebrate my birthday. Me being in the spotlight of people wishing me a happy birthday makes me incredibly uncomfortable. And I hate Sean for that. So my close friends are well aware of that. So there was nothing of the sort apart from, one of my bosses. So they got me a present and I was able to get the present this morning when I went to work. They put it in my locker. So the present is a DNA heritage test. Huh. I love those.
No, it's awesome. I think
because
it's cool.
One of my close friends is a microbiologist, and like months ago we were talking about this and he did the test himself and he was so flabbergasted by the results and he's like, a ton of this makes sense, but it's also really good. And I'm like, that's really interesting. And then they saw my reaction and they actually got me the DNA test. So I'm gonna do the test and then mail it. And I'm excited to see the results. It's really sweet.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's really sweet. And then I got myself a present, perfume.
There you go. Get you some perfume.
Yeah.
If
you've been following me, right, from quite some time, I'm a gourmet girl. I like my vanillas. I love my caramels, my vanillas and everything. So
I'm a gourmet guy. I'm a big fan of Chef Boyardee. He's pretty cool.
I watched Last of Us. I know what that is.
Oh.
So I thought this was going in a completely different direction. So kudos to you staying on track. But let's keep it that way. So the one thing that gets me excited about my birthday, which has nothing to do with my birthday, every year is actually Double or Nothing. And we're going to talk about that later. But first of all, some news came out today, Rob.
Yeah. So as it was reported earlier that, it was reported a while ago that Mariah May's contract was up. And, and a lot of that came from people like Andrew Bridella, who kind of alerted Sean about it. And Sean, like he always says, if there's some new, like if he doesn't break the news, he's damn well going to try to get more news out of it, So, and that's what happened. He found out about Mariah May's contract and things like that. And today it comes out that Miss Mariah May has been removed from the AEW roster online. So she's no longer on AEW's roster page online. So you can go.
Hello.
Yeah, that just came up. I don't know. we're trying to get clicks here, so that's why I even changed the thumbnail. Anyways, so she.
Sorry. Yeah, I couldn't help myself. She's so gorgeous. I'm sorry.
Oh, she's yeah, she is. But anyways, like as it was reported, on I think PW Insider reported it this morning, just notified, basically said that she's been removed from the roster and she still has, I guess, some contract time left, but it's pretty much up pretty soon. Fightful Select added to that report this like afternoon, and Sean basically talked about that with what's going on with Mariah May. Since it's been out a little bit, I'll go ahead and talk about that. So Fightful Select did report PW Insiders of such plans of Mariah May and her 2-year contract that she had is expected to expire and she is effectively to be done with the company. There obviously has been no substantial creative plans for her since the Hollywood ending. So I don't know if you remember that, but like when she last time she appeared on TV, like when it basically the end of the match, it had the end. I thought that mainly meant for Toni Storm type thing, but obviously it maybe it played into both. But so there's that. So Mariah May likely headed to, as they call, say in the business, New York. She's probably headed to the WWE, the World Wrestling Entertainment. So it's what are your thoughts on this? I mean, we kind of, it's been talked about and people have been saying that she was going, but now it's like, then it was like, well, she could always resign. And now it's like, okay, well, now it looks like what are your thoughts on Mariah May potentially going to the WWE? And everybody in chat, let us know how you feel too.
Okay, so first of all, I'm so off my game today. Let me just do my shtick, and then we're gonna talk about this, guys. Hi, a bit late. This is a bit late, but better late than never. Hi, thank you for joining us. Happy Friday! Please leave a like on the video. The simplest way in which you can support us, it helps us out a ton. You have no idea. Rob and I will both be annoying all of you throughout the show to drop a like on the video. If you like to support us with your wallets and your money and your checks, please send a super chat at the bottom of the live YouTube chat, the little dollar sign. You can also send a humper chat at humperchats.com. Any amount. Rob and I welcome gratefully. We adore you guys for the support throughout the years so much. It means so, so much to us. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. News like this about Mariah May are our bread and butter. So if please support original content creators and be on lookout for any aggregator website that do not credit the original news source, because that is a huge no-no for us. This is what keeps a lot of people employed. And with your support, we can still, you know, pay people money to do whatever they love to do. And this is, and I'm talking about, you know, wrestling. After you've done watching the video, please leave a comment below. It helps a lot with the algorithm. And the algorithm sucks because it hates us. So yes, please leave your thoughts below about the Mariah May thing. So Rob and I have been incredibly vocal when we say that we care about the talent and not the companies or federations that they work for. Of course, we can also like the company that they work for, but we always strive to support whatever the wrestler decides to do, as long as it's legal, you know, and it's not hurting people, of course. So kudos to Mariah May for eventually scoring, you know, a job in WWE. I know that she will fit like a glove there. And I cannot wait for all the matchups. I can't wait for her versus Lyra Valkyria. Of all people, it's going to be incredibly good. Her against Tiffany Stratton, surely for the promo work that both of them are going to do.
Yeah, and I saw somebody say that you're going to see the Spider-Man meme a lot, where they're pointing at each other.
Well, exactly. This is what I'm talking about. This is cinema, okay? And what's really weird to me is that they had Mariah May on only a 2-year contract, man. This is so weird to me because... So, Mariah May, they got her, they signed her, and in right out of the gate, they had those entire 2 years planned out in storyline. And I'm going to go ahead and just assume that that dedication was because they wanted to make sure that she stays there.
Yeah.
Probably. So knowing what we know now, I'm even more disappointed that the Hollywood ending match was not the main event for Revolution. It was Revolution, right? Yes, it was Revolution. Or was it Dynasty? No, wait.
I think it might have been Dynasty. I don't know. Hell, so.
Oh my God!
Somebody will let us know.
Yeah,
Bryn. We need I'm gonna make a Bryn like alarm or something.
Alarm, like Bryn alarm.
Yeah. That way, when it goes off, she can.
Please.
It was Revolution. See?
There we Revolution. Go. Yes. Thank you, sweetie. You're the best. I have no idea what we can do without you. So please make a Bryn alert.
I will.
Yes.
I will. I'll have to do that.
Yeah. So again, this so much had to be in the main event of the show, knowing what we know now. I'm excited for Mariah May.
Yeah.
Really, really excited. You could kind of tell because it looks like they erased Mariah May's name from kayfabe storyline in AEW. And I get it. WWE do that too. But like they show videos of Cody Rhodes a lot.
Yeah. I don't know.
So like they can, I know he's a founding father and everything. So things may change in the future. Also, Mariah May is young, so she can come back. She can do whatever the hell she wants. As long as it's what she wants, she can keep doing that. I cannot wait. Having in mind that Evolution is right around the corner, I still have no idea when her contract is up. I mean, it's up, but like we don't know when. But again, Evolution is right around the corner. Yep. I'm kind of pissed off about that, but like,
well, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. But yeah, I suppose you're excited too about Mariah May because like the possibilities are infinite and fresh new matchups. I'm here for that.
Yeah, I am. I'm definitely excited to see what she has, like what they have scheduled for, like and planned. The thing that I'm always nervous about when new talent comes in is that they change her name, which I could see them doing like Delilah July or something stupid instead of Mariah May. I'm joking there, but Delilah July. That's my thing that I'm always nervous about. Like I hope she keeps the name. I mean they let Jade Cargo keep her name. The Ricky Saints thing, and this is my opinion only, I think that actually hurts them. It just somehow does. I don't know, but we'll see. But I get it. Like if it was one of those things where he wants to keep his IP, his intellectual property, I get it. I completely get it. So whatever. And it's always up to the wrestler too, you know, like when it comes to that, if that's like, if it comes down to like their their property and stuff. I get it. Like, whatever is best for them. I am anxious for it. There was some other news that came out today that was unfortunate. Abaddon announced that her contract is not being renewed by AEW. Abaddon is a fantastic wrestler. And I know she'll probably land on her feet. I'm not like she'll get work, whether it's TNA or like indie work, or maybe down the line WWE, who knows? Like, she'll get work. Her character is fantastic. And depending on, I know it's kind of, they have a lot to do, and this is very early by any means, and they have a lot to do with this storyline, but I think she'd be perfect for something like the Wyatts, like the Wyatt Six, if they get that story going and they make it make sense, but only if they can make it make sense, because that's a long ways to go. Because we saw the Wyatt Six return last week on SmackDown.
Yes, we did, on the birthday of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was so great. And then they blew out the candles. That was so sweet. Instant chills, man. Instant chills. I don't know if there's a place for them in the Wyatt Six.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot has to be done, like, story-wise.
Yes, and a lot has to be done. And I don't know if they'd be able to do... I kind of feel like the Wyatt Six on their own have an expiration date.
Yeah, they could, for sure.
A living lily doll is so good.
That would be kind of creepy as hell.
This is kind of good, but like, yeah. it's this kind of creepy, spooky thing that I don't know if they have the capacity to make it work, because I kind of feel like the target audience of creepy stuff in wrestling is 50 plus years old. I don't know if the younger generation of people who watch wrestling are that into creepy stuff when it comes to shows and everything. I know I am when it's done correctly. I was a fan of everything that the Wyatt family were doing. Not only, you know, the creepy swamp people thing that Sean is and the majority of the of people, not only at Fightful, but you know, who watch as a whole, they were all of them were fans of, you know, the creepy swamp people that were the wives, because it was believable, it was real. I'm not exactly, I like that too, but like, I have no problem with the creepy stuff.
Yeah,
because like, I like horror movies, but like the kind of horror movies that get in your head, like not gory stuff, because like, come on, it's that's simple, cheap way to make people scared. And I do not like that. I like horror movies that fuck with your brain. That's the kind of stuff I like. So
like Kazam and Steel and Mighty Ducks, those kind of scary movies.
For instance, I
just did that to pop myself more than anything.
I understand. For instance, I know, like, if I don't know if you guys know, but I love David Lynch.
You've mentioned that before, I think.
I don't know if you know this. So this past week, because again, it was my birthday, I had one movie from David Lynch that I hadn't watched, and I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And then David Lynch passed away this year, and I'm like, I'm definitely gonna watch the movie now. And then I kept procrastinating because I was afraid that after I watched this movie, I would have nothing else to do. But I can watch them all over again. So it's Inland Empire. And that movie creeped me out, man. It creeped me out. Because, like, it's not a horror movie. It's not.
No.
But it fucking scared me, okay? I don't know. Have you watched the movie?
I saw it years and years ago. I could not tell you who's in it, and I don't even remember the story. So, like, I mean, once you say it and what it's about, I'll probably know it. I know I've seen it because I went through a phase where I watched all of David Lynch's stuff. Like,
yeah, well, it's about a woman in trouble. That's the second.
Okay, well,
that's pretty much the second title of the movie. It's about a woman in trouble. It's about a Hollywood actress that gets a role and she gets lost in that role.
Okay.
A lot of fucked up stuff, you know, happens. So that was incredibly psychological. The movie itself, it's fucking 3 hours long, man. That's a lot even for me. So I'm not going to get into interpretation and stuff and, you know, and everything, because, like, it's David Lynch. Personal interpretation is really important to the guy. But, like, the meaning, the basic meaning of the movie is really normal, but it's presented in such a creepy-ass way that if you're not creeped out by that, you're just a psycho. So it's just... This is the kind of horror that I like, and I have no problem with it in, you know, in wrestling. Abaddon, I like the presentation, but I just felt like they never gave them a chance.
Oh, yeah, there's so many wrestlers, though, that, I mean, I know WWE gets a lot of crap for, like, oh, they never were given a chance. And a lot of that is, I completely agree, because those people got let go and, like, their contracts, like, they got released before the contract's up, stuff like that. So I understand that, but there's a lot of people, and this is a good thing about AEW, is they keep people for the most part under contract, and they don't renew them or whatever happens. So I will commend AEW for that, obviously. But yeah, they do drop the ball with a lot of talent. And there's always some things that we don't know about, like when it comes to, like, why they're not wrestling or something. But in this case, based on her taking independent dates and stuff like that, I assume she was okay. Like, you know, it just, they decided to move away from that. And that's too bad, because she can definitely wrestle. But there's also, from a character standpoint, there's so much they can do with that, too, without making it. Because when she came into AEW, they made her pretty, like, she was unstoppable for, like, a little bit. You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I remember. It was a long time ago, but, like, yeah. I still remember. They were regular on Dark.
Yep. Yeah, that's one thing I miss. That's one thing that definitely hurts.
Exactly.
With talent, they is no AEW Dark. I know, and speaking of Ryan Sullivan, we do have a super chat from him, but I know if AEW Dark ever came back, Ryan Sullivan would be a happy man. And he sent us a super chat that says, "Happy birthday, Maggie. Rob, happy haircut and shave." Well, thank you.
Why didn't you display it on the
I thought I did. Sorry. There it is.
No.
No. I thought I did. I mean, I obviously clicked it so I could read it. So I just
thank you, Ryan, sweetie. I like Ryan is one of the people who damn well know how awkward my birthday was, because he was like, "Happy birthday, Maggie! I'm so sure that you're, you know."
I didn't even know they had birthdays in Bulgaria.
Yes, unfortunately, we do. He knew how uncomfortable I would that it was out there. So thank you, Ryan. For sharing my pain. God damn it. God damn it.
Yeah.
follow Ryan's pattern and send us your money, because Rob got a haircut and I had a birthday and I bought perfume. So then send us money so I can buy more perfume.
Perfume.
Yes. Also read the book Perfume. So
that is true. Brent says Ring of Honor is essentially AW Dark, just rebranded. But
okay, because there's no way we're going to talk at length about this.
I'll read that one here shortly. So, Patrick, I'm so sorry if I get the name wrong. Pratique. I'll read that one here in a few minutes because it's a good point and it's something I do want to bring up. But go ahead, Maggie. Sorry.
Yes. We are not going to talk at all about this, so might as well talk about it now when Bryn mentioned ROH. So the Ops faced the Frat House at this week's Dynamite. What in the living fuck did they do to Preston Vance? my sweetie, Preston Vance. I'm so sorry, but this was 10 in the Dark Order, and he was one of the most over people apart from John Silver. This is Preston Vance, who bled a lot in the Dark Order.
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening?
I saw him, I was cracking up. I'm like, Maggie's going to be pissed.
Because, like, every now and then, I'm like, oh, okay, so this is happening on ROH. This is good. I didn't know that. And they were, well, this is what you do for missing out on ROH. This is what I'm missing while not watching Ring of Honor. Preston Vance being put in this stupid-ass role. I'm going to fucking barf out my intestines the next time I see him in that stupid frat house. What the fuck is happening? The guy is good at wrestling. What is this thing? He's not that young. By the way, I will gladly marry the guy.
Okay.
But, like, he's not in a frat house. Get them as fucking far away from that frat house and put him on my television. Make him a tag partner with Wardlow. So they can go through, panties. So they can go through that entire tag division, which is pretty much non-existent still. But I'm so fucking pissed off the moment they showed Preston Vance on my television with a fucking speaker shouting stupid crap into Shibata or Samoa Joe. I think it was Samoa Joe. And I'm like, why? Why are they fucking making me want to shout at Samoa Joe kicking the crap out of Preston Vance, my boyfriend? So, like, what? I'm so miserable about this. Bring him back, you fucking dickheads. Okay, so what did you want to say?
I don't even remember, but
no, it was from our friend.
Well, it was Saturday night main event that I was going to bring up. He says, "Hey Rob, why is no one talking about the fact that they're only using the white ring ropes? Why don't they use the blue, red, or even black ones for other PLEs? Why is it only Saturday night's main event?" So, from what I've gathered, is they. And this, I cannot confirm. I've talked to somebody about this. And this person, what they said without knowing, they were giving me a theory in their, the way they take it, is because you don't see, like, the advertisements that you see normally, like, on the Raw apron or the SmackDown you know, like you don't see as many ads. They think there's a conscious effort not to put that many advertising like on Saturday Night Main Event, because they kind of, they're trying to get the casual viewer like more than the normal, because it's on a bigger network, NBC. It's being seen more, and it kind of gives people a nostalgic feel. Plus, I think that actually also plays into it. I think they're playing into the nostalgia. But yeah, you make a good point. As far as the ring ropes, I don't know like what the choices go in on that. But I know for like the fact of Saturday Night Main Event, and that, like I said, that was a person just basically giving me a theory, but it, when you look at it, it pretty much makes sense that that's the way they're going. There could be other reasons, I'm sure. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure if somebody wanted to pay, we've seen WWE, they're willing to put pretty much anything out there. So, but I'm guessing that they're trying to go with the traditional look to get the casual viewer. Because, but again, that's me even taking a theory, like looking at it and my own theory. There could be other reasons, but if I would think that would be the biggest reason. But I do, the one thing that I wish more than anything from this past Saturday Night Main Event is that I wish they would have used the classic blue steel cage that was famous from the 80s and 90s. I mean, we've got so many classics in that cage, that blue cage. I mean, we're talking, even though I can't stand the guy, we're talking Hogan versus Bundy. We're talking Brett versus Owen from SummerSlam 94. There's so many other matches I could keep going on, like steel cage matches. But I mean, if that's one thing that I wish we would have had, it would have been that blue steel cage match or steel cage. But yeah. Damn it, Corey. He says, we didn't get a blue steel cage, but we got a Drew steel cage, you know?
Okay. No. Okay. Just okay. Because, yeah. There's not much to talk about Saturday Night Main Event this past week, apart from, you know, Bronson Reed coming back to actually join the Seth Riders. This we're going to talk about it when, like, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Like, I'm going to need further explanation as to why, you know? Because
why?
Yeah, yeah. Why? Why? But... the second thing that I want to talk about, and it's not Cody, because fuck Cody. Wow. It's Jesse the Body Ventura losing his fucking mind the moment Damian Priest just walked out of the cage, and he's like, what is this stupid? He wins by walking out of the cage, which is... Jesse the Body Ventura is all of us.
Well, that's kind of scary.
That is kind of scary. But like, he is all of us, because it's a steel cage match. No one gets in. No one gets out. Because, like, we know everybody gets in. You know, we know that. But like, this is the one time that no one enters the steel cage. The one match. Because they keep selling this as no one's allowed in, and then every time someone gets in the cage, because it's no DQ and everything. So the one time no one gets in, the match is won by a person getting out of the cage. And like, this is a blood rivalry, okay? They try to kill each other. And then Damian Priest just strolls out of the cage and wins the match. And Jesse loses his marbles on commentary. He almost barfed of disgust, and I'm like, I'm losing my mind. He was so good. What do you mean? Oh, what? I forgot exactly what he said, but like, he started piling and piling on. I couldn't keep up. It was so funny.
So the funny thing about Jesse Ventura is, like, where I live here in Minnesota, he was the governor here, so I got to see a lot of that kind of stuff. But you just add real politics into it, it makes it even more interesting. So
yes.
but like, that's the thing, I'm used to that kind of Jesse Ventura, where he kind of loses his mind on silly things.
So good.
But he's not But he, I mean, that's the thing. Like, he knows what he's, at times, like, he can be out there, but he knows what he's talking about usually. So, but yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from on that. And, I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. Brent says it right. He has a zero filter, like, on commentary. And that has to be scary from a production standpoint. Like yeah, what the hell is he going to say?
There's no Vince anymore, so.
Yeah. Well, I also don't think, I'll be honest, I don't think if Vince was there, there'd be no Jesse Ventura there.
No way.
And granted, they did work together, like, in the late 90s for SummerSlam 99, but that was a very temporary, short thing, and, like, Jesse came back for the Hall of Fame thing. He came back here and there, but it wasn't like that, and I don't think they would do that. But that's me, and that's my opinion. I mean, other than that, we can move on to AEW Double or Nothing.
Well, let's talk about, if you want, let's just mention a couple of things about NXT, and then we can, you know, start jerking off on Double or Nothing.
Okay. Money so shots for everyone. Okay. Well,
yes. Hmm. So just, you know, a couple of things. Trick Williams beating Joe Hendry for the frick.
Some of these words are like, yeah, okay.
What happened?
Never mind. Just keep going.
What? What happened?
Well, you started, like, you just said, oh, let me read, before we do that, let me read Eric's super chat so we don't forget it.
Okay.
Happy birthday to my music and awesome pal, Maggie. Rob, great shave. Also a big fan of your hats. Thank you, sir. Maggie, FMK, Preston Vance, Wardlow, Pedro Pascal.
I think never ask me that.
Yeah,
I know what it means. All of them together.
Okay. Well,
all the time.
Jesus, okie dokie, artichokey.
Listen, I've been pretty vocal. I've never wanted kids, but I will lay kids for Pedro Pascal. Legitimately, I will make like a hen and lay eggs for Pedro Pascal. I will make him a lot of babies. A lot of babies.
Okay.
Hit me up, Pedro.
Yeah, he's watching, so there you go,
Pedro. I know he's watching. So, yeah, Trick Williams beat Joe Hendry for what he would like to be called as the Trick NA title. And then Santana confronted Trick Williams and said that he's not his champion. So a match is made for next week. Why are you smirking?
No, I'm not. I'm good.
Okay. So nothing happened.
No, nothing.
Okay. So a match was made for next week. I don't know if it's for the title or not. I didn't catch that. But Santana had a wonderful match against Tavian Heights on this week's TNA, and it was really, really good. But the thing that happened before that was that Ethan Page beat Ricky Starks for the North American Championship. So
that happening.
Yeah, neither the closing match. So definitely didn't see this coming. And what happened after is Javon Evans came out and he's like, oh, hi. So you know that Worlds Collide show that's coming up, right? So you're going to, you know, defend the championship against me, Laredo Kid, And you know, Ray Phoenix. And what? Okay, fine. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And then the show ends with JC Jane winning the women's championship from Stephanie.
Yeah.
And for a brief couple of seconds, I thought that this wasn't supposed to happen Because the ring announcer, I forget his name all the time.
Mike Rome.
Okay. He looks shocked.
He's friends with our guy Alexis Cardoza.
I'm so happy about that.
They're Power Ranger guys.
There you go. He legitimately stunned. And I'm like, I don't think this was supposed to happen. And then, okay, it was supposed to happen. So, I have a lot of question as to why, if you're going to call up Stephanie, but like she still needs to do a lot of, you know, because they have that whole Worlds Collide thing with Triple A, I'm sure that she'll be on the show.
Well, so yeah, she will be.
Yeah, so why not drop the title to Jordynne Grace? Probably because Jordynne Grace is getting called up as well. I don't know. But
I don't know.
But JC Jayne deserves that championship. That's all
I'm she definitely does, and I'm happy for her. I am. Because that was something I did not see that happening whatsoever. So it was cool to, like, I always like shocking title changes because it gives us something to talk about, like, right now.
We rarely talk about NXT whatsoever. So
yeah, I was surprised, but I'm very curious to see where it goes. The thing is, I mean, they just brought up Roxanne Perez and Julia. If they bring up Stephanie and Jordynne Grace at the same time, I'm going to be very curious to see how this works. I agree with Sean Garner here. He says JC is just a transitional champ. I think that's the case too.
Sure. Of course. But like, she drops it to who? Is it Jordynne Grace?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's who I would think so, but I would also prefer, like, why did they just not let Jordynne Grace? If that's what they're doing, if Jordynne Grace is going to be the one that wins it from JC Jayne, why did they just not do it at the PLE, you know? Like, that's right. It's a tag team match for them. That's why. Like, but I mean, still, like, even...
I'm sure that what they wanted to give us was an awesome, amazing match again for Stephanie versus Jordynne Grace, and that it was, you know, at the pay-per-view. The way JC Jayne won the championship from Stephanie was via shenanigans and fatal influence. So Jasmine Nix got on the apron, the ref got distracted, and then Fallon Henley kicked Stephanie in the face, and that's how JC Jayne was able to surprise pin Stephanie. Everyone was shocked, including Stephanie. So I don't know. I don't know if they think that this is I don't know if they necessarily think that Stephanie's protected in this loss. Because she gave us a wonderful match against Jordynne Grace. And then she couldn't get the job done against JC Jayne because she was basically battling three women at once. And then she lost the match unfairly. I don't know. You can make a point out of that. But again, JC Jayne, she had it coming. If she is a transitional champion, though, it's kind of unfair, but if you think about it, I kind of feel like Stephanie was a champion for like 20 minutes. And I know she wasn't. I know she wasn't. What exactly does it mean to be transitional when it comes to Stephanie being a champion for however long that was, and Julia previously for however long that was.
Yeah. I mean, on a 1 to 10 scale, I don't think it didn't shock me, but What was your opinion of Trick winning the TNA title?
Oh, I was I was sure that he was winning the title. I mean, I talked about it on our predictions. I'm sure that because at some point someone's gotta win the other company's, you know, belt.
Yeah. And that was something like I was gonna talk about for this because on July 12th, AEW All In is taking place at 3 p.m. Eastern. And NXT, the Great American Bash, is taking place on July 12th at 3 p.m. Eastern. WWE is counter-programming AEW All In. Again. Okay.
Wait, it's a Saturday?
Whatever day July 12th is, yeah. I'm gonna. I'll double check. I think it's Saturday, though. Yeah, I think.
Just
I think
bring it's the graphic up back on.
It's, well, it's, I didn't have the day on there, but yeah, July 12th is a Saturday.
Damn it, man.
Yep. So you're gonna have to take the day off. Anyways.
No, I don't have to. I mean, it's.
Well, You know what I mean. It's anyways, 10 July 12th.
My time, so.
Yeah, July 12th. AW. NXT going on at the same time. I get from a wrestling fan standpoint why people are irritated. From a media perspective, I'm irritated.
I'm irritated a lot, yes.
From a business standpoint, I completely understand it. Even though I think there's other ways, or like, I think there are better ways to do it. In my opinion, I think you can get more eyes by having it at a different time, but that's my opinion. The other thing is Sean made a good point about this on, I want to say it was either the no, he said it on the hump. WWE that weekend is going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. And I think he said on the night of maybe of Saturday night's main event that they're going against a Beyonce concert in Atlanta. Like that's pretty much really close to where they're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know one thing, I would not want to have to go to an arena right by another place where Beyonce concert, like where Beyonce concert's going to be. Cause Atlanta is already horrible for traffic. I can't imagine how a small little section of the city would be for this. Like I said, I don't like it. I get it from a business standpoint. If it works, it works. I just don't like it. But from a business standpoint, I see it happening. Oh, cool. Beyonce's there for all 3 days.
Fucking damn, hey, man.
If you want it, you got to put a ring on it, right? There you go, Super. I just gave you some material there.
Yes. Yes. So.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off again. Oh, MLB All-Star Weekend, too? Jesus. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Good luck, Atlanta. Just good luck. So what you said that if you have shows on different dates, it's going to have more eyes on your product. I don't think that that's the case here because they don't want more eyes on their product. They just want less eyes on the other people's product. That's what I think is the main goal here. Now, I'm not a business person whatsoever. In my country, let alone the States, which is totally different. It sucks for me because I'll have to have two shows I have to watch before work. And This is the part about wrestling that makes me look at it as a chore. and it's kind of throwing me off. And this is me personally. And it has a lot to do with the stupid time difference. Because if there was no time difference, it would have been a totally, totally different thing. But All In is almost 100% going to be 10 hours at least.
Oh, yeah. It has to be, just based on...
So I cannot possibly watch it live because I'm going to have to go to bed. So I'm going to have to watch half of it, then go to bed, then wake up, watch the other half of it, and then watch NXT Great American Bash. Because I ain't staying up to watch Great American Bash. Listen, you're putting NXT on the same day as Okada and Omega. I don't know what you're thinking. And that's not even being announced yet. But we all know it's happening. I don't know what needs to happen on NXT that could counter-program Okada and Omega. I like NXT. I just want, just for the record. And when's Evolution?
Evolution is going to be on the 12th. Or no, 13th.
Okay, so the day after that.
No, sorry, let's see here. Main State Farm Arena to host Saturday night main event on Saturday, July 12th. Evolution on July 13th. Great American Bash will be at the Center Stage in Atlanta on July 12th.
And Saturday night main event when?
Saturday, July 12th. So two shows that day.
Oh, fucking man. So Great American Bash at 3 p.m. Then later on that day, Saturday night main event. And then the next day, Evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they running NXT, Great American Bash, and Saturday Night Main Event in the same venue?
No. Saturday Night Main Event will be at the State Farm Arena, where they usually do like SmackDowns and Raws or other PLEs. But yeah, the State Theater, the place they're doing the NXT, AEW's done shows there.
Okay.
So, and yeah, that's the other thing Eric mentions here. That's rumored to be your guy Goldberg's last match too.
Stop saying that.
Well, it's not my fault. He's your guy. I didn't.
Stop saying that. So, the fuckers heard us, you know, talking for years and years about us moaning for Evolution 2. Because Evolution was a pay-per-view in, I do not remember, 2018?
Yeah, 2018.
Okay, this was the best pay-per-view of the year. I'm not even kidding. Best pay-per-view of the year. And because we wanted Evolution 2 for years and years and years after that, we did not stop talking about this because it was so good. And the women... You know, they deserve this. After every time going back to Saudi Arabia for those shows and everything, they at least gave us, you know, Evolution. But they didn't give it to us. So now they're giving it to us after everything that they did to counter-program AEW. And then they've given us Evolution the night after that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be excited to watch the show just as long as AJ Lee comes back. Okay? Give me AJ Lee. I do not give a crap, Matt. I am not kidding anymore. Bring back AJ Lee. Throw her a big sack of money. Like...
Yeah.
You know damn well that the moment Evolution comes around, I'm not going to talk, shut up about AJ Lee. Just like the Royal Rumble. Just like the Rumble.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's okay. I mean, hey, if we get, I'm all for AJ Lee.
Because of me.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Happy Maggie, happy life, right? Everybody else is happy. Maggie's happy. That's what we need.
Yes, thank you. Guys, we're about Cooper Effect, right? Yeah.
Yeah, let's do Cooper Effect action.
Yes, please leave a like on the video before we talk about the Cooper Effect and after we talk about the Cooper Effect. Leave a thumbs up all the time and send us your super chat at Humper Chats. Guys, we talk about animals a lot on the Cooper Effect. This is a point I made with Rob right before our show when I sent him the Cooper Effect I found today. But today we're about to praise some normal people, humans, if you will. And so not only are they just, you know, people, they're young people, which are the worst normally. So, you know, fuck the new generation, okay? But like these awesome people saw a car that had flipped on its side from a car crash. So they rushed to help the entire family get out of the car. There was a mother and a father and their, I want to say, 11-month-old baby. Let me just double check. I want to be incredibly sure. 11-month-old son. So they dragged the baby from the wreckage, the people who rushed to help. So the photo was taken.
I've put Abaddon's picture up by accident, so we're good.
Okay. So the photo was taken by a person named Robert who was just going to the supermarket around 5 p.m. And then he just took the picture of, you know, that's what makes us human, you know, us helping each other. So they rushed towards the car and just immediately started helping the people in the car in distress because they had no idea if the car was about to explode or not, if there's any leakage. Why the hell did I start the hiccups?
I don't know.
Yeah. So you love to see this. I don't know if they're Gen Z or not. I don't normally like Gen Z because they're loudmouths and know-it-alls. Gentle parenting does not work, guys. Just be smart. Oh.
All right. So that's our Cooper Effect.
Yeah.
Gen Z kids suck, but they saved somebody. So these ones don't suck as much, but they still suck. These ones
don't suck, okay? They're fine.
Okay. They get a pass. Okay.
They get a pass. Be like those Gen Z motherfuckers. So... Let's talk about Double or Nothing. For the sickos.
For the sickos.
Fuck.
Let's start with the main event, Maggie. Maggie. Your name's Maggie. That's right. This guy named Adam Hangman Page, he won the Owen Hart tournament. So he earns a title shot at AEW All in Texas on July 12th.
Do you know what else he earns?
Well.
He earns seven panties. That's my star system.
I didn't really know how to say that, so I'm glad you did. So
seven panties, man. What a match that was. Brian was asking what the seven panties was. That's what it was. That's a star rating system between for me that I thought about on the True Heel Heat channel when doing predictions. Seven panties.
It would have been eight panties if this took place at the Tokyo Dome, though.
Yes, that is exactly what I told SP3.
Ah, nice. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So, anyways, Maggie,
what did you think of the match?
Oh, the match was fantastic. I love the match. You get two of my favorite AEW wrestlers going at it in the ring. They were having a hell of a match. I'm glad there was no shenanigans, as you like to say. It was just a good match, and they brought it. It was a hell of a main event. It was the right choice for the main event.
You called it.
Yeah, it was good. It was definitely good. I enjoyed it. That match is good. They're going the right way, in my opinion, and I hope my theory is right, even though I don't think it will be. But I think it just, in my opinion, it looks like they could be headed towards that. If you look at it, I think we might. There's potential by around the time that November comes, we could get Hangman versus Kenny Omega again. I'm just saying, there's potential there.
I know.
So
I loved how both of them channeled their greatest opponents in AEW. So Will Ospreay did the V-trigger and Hangman did the big pressure. And it didn't take long after that move for Hangman to win the match. It was an incredible. The styles clash from the apron to the floor.
Fuck, that was, oh man, yeah.
So I could totally, because I was rooting for Will Ospreay, but I had zero problem with Hangman winning, just like we talked about last week. The moment I saw Will Ospreay working heel in the match, because at some point he started working like a heel. He started arguing with the ref. He started smashing Hangman's head in the announce table. And I'm like, he's working heel. He's losing this match. I don't know if this was planned or not, because Will Ospreay and Hangman are incredible in-ring storytellers and great workers. So I suppose they, you know, thought about this on the fly, because as Sean reported, both of them were pulling for the other one to win the match. Yeah. And we all know no one has creative control, you know. Mm-hmm. They can have input, but no one has creative control. And everything that goes came from Tony Khan. And he's the last person to have the last word. So I love the match. I loved the match. I'm definitely gonna watch it a couple of times more before this year is over. It was such a what?
No, then just
no.
No, I just you're funny. That's all.
I know, but like, why?
Well, just because of what you are. I was expecting you to say something like,
Naughty. Oh no.
Yeah, I just
no.
So
I just hope that they do the right thing. Seriously, I'm not kidding. If Moxley beats Hangman, this will be such a mistake, man. Such a mistake, because this is their biggest show that they've had in the States. Let's put it at that. The biggest show that they've had.
Yeah.
And ending that show with Moxley winning is going to be a mistake. So I can totally see that happening, by the way.
I know.
Because we all know how deeply married Tony Khan is to his long-term storytelling. And a part of me still feels like he still wants to put that championship on Darby Allin. And I'm going to be so fucking mad if this happens, that it's going to be WrestleMania 39 all over again. So no.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say this.
Like, yeah, if that happens, I don't know if the stadium will be able to stand after that, and the Rangers, Texas Rangers, who play there at that stadium, baseball, will probably have to move, will try to have to see if they can play at Jerry World, a.k.a. Cowboy Stadium, if that happens.
What I think may happen is a lot worse than that, because
the fans
rioting shows that they care and they're passionate about this. If they just stand up and leave,
the stadium, like she's saying, they'll lose their shit, is what she's saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they get up and leave, it's a totally different situation, because they don't give a crap and they're giving up. So if they lose their shit, it's going to be a good thing, because they will show that they care. If they just say nothing and just fucking leave, that's going to be the sad part. After Hangman won the champion, the Owen Cup final.
I do want to say one thing before I forget about All In.
Yes.
If there's one thing that I definitely would like to see, is because of the history of the Von Erichs in Texas, I really hope that the Von Erich brothers get a tag match, like, even if it's a trios match, I hope they get a match. That's really all I wanted to add.
Can it be on the pre-show?
No, I want it to be on the main card.
Okay.
That's why. Like, technically they're still wrestling in the same place. It's just, I think it would mean more if it was on the main card in Texas, okay, in a stadium, because, hell, that's how I remember their uncles and their dad. Like, just the history of it, it would be pretty cool. So, that's all I wanted to add.
Okay, I'm gonna... You go off and on in Robo-Rob time to time.
Yeah, that's pretty much what just happened there, too.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know if it's your internet connection or what.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were talking about me just moving from topic to topic. Probably my internet. I don't know.
No, you're just glitching.
Yeah, I don't know if it was me
I don't know if it was on my end or Rob's end. People, like, I'm just going to need for people to mention in the chat if that's, you know, the thing. So what happened after was Hangman on this week's Dynamite, he came out. He praised Ospreay for giving him the fight of his life, and he promised to win back the title and free it for all the world to see. And that's when Swerve came out. And that's when it got interesting, because he showed a video of the Young Bucks saying, "We did it for Hangman. We got you, bro." this is something that a lot of people have praised WWE, AEW for, and that's rewarding you for paying attention. Because this is something that happened a while ago, and, like, now they're giving you a prize and they're mushing all of these things together. So Swerve was like, "What's that about? Are you in on this? Like, did you make the Bucks cost me my title match?" And then Hangman straight up said, in the most Hangman way, "Well, dumbass."
I loved it.
It's so good. He was like, "If I wanted to, I would have done it myself." So Will Ospreay came out, and I just turned into liquid. So, like, Will Ospreay came out, and he was like, "It's not you, Swerve. I thought it was me, but it's him." And this was good. The delivery is so good. He was like, "I love you. You were here. You supported me. You were my friend for years, but it's not you. I thought it was me, but it's him."
It reminded me, you know, when he came out, like, and did that, it reminded me of episode 3. You were the chosen one.
Like, you're the chosen one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were supposed to be the chosen one.
Yeah. I was like, yay.
We'll see who has the higher ground than Robert.
Yeah.
So, yes. And he said that he could pull it off if they all work together. And then Swerve just smacked the microphone out of his hand. And he's like, I'm not working with him ever. And then he left the ring. And Hangman pretty much said the same. I'm not working with the guy.
Which whatsoever. Means which means they're going to be working.
Totally working together. Yeah. So, but what I'm mostly looking forward to is how they get to that point. Because are we going to get the nod from Swerve?
Yeah.
You know, the Young Bucks nod.
Yeah, are that's we going to get that?
Because every one of us, all of us elite girlies, have been looking forward to that because that nod was the best thing ever. And they even made a bit out of it for BTE.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny Omega never watching the show.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't see the nod. I miss BT, man. I miss that.
I do too. They need to bring that. They need to bring, that'll come back one day, but it'll be a while. And when they do it, they need to just not announce it. They just need to release it. That way
just never, because it ended to no fanfare. And like it was probably one of the things that made people fall in love with AEW. Being the elite was the thing that made me fall in love with AEW. So I'm not gonna, you know, state blank stuff from nowhere. I was the one. So
This is just, you know how like things just come to me like as they happen and I just have to talk about them. Like Vast company or CEO says Swerve
Vasco.
Okay, well I didn't know if it was supposed to be one word or two. Swerve nod would hit right in the fills and it would be really cool if he did that. But all of a sudden just the thing that popped in my head of if Danhausen was right behind him and just did the nod to, for whatever stupid reason. I don't know why that just came to me, but I was like, oh, that would be amazing.
Robert, I don't know what it's like living in your head, but like,
oh, nobody does. Nobody does. And I wouldn't want like anybody to go through that.
Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter, the women's Owen Cup final was so good. It opened up the main card. So they also had a gruesome spot, the Meteora from the apron. Jamie Hayter sold out like a pro. And then, so like the match ended. I don't know if it was supposed to be a surprise roll-up, but like it looked like a fucking gruesome ass DDT into a cradle pin. And I barked. I thought that was it from Jamie Hayter.
Like, I know what you mean, like barked. I just, like, but I actually pictured you just going like a dog instead. Like I said, my head, like, who knows?
I know Jamie Hayter is kind of protected in this win because Mercedes Moné pinned her and she immediately rolled out the ring and like, you guys, you know, with the championship, that was so good. You know, 2 days before Natty's birthday, that was so great. And then, so we get the face-to-face between Toni Storm and Mercedes. That was so good. Let me just talk about some of the stuff that was said in this. I'm not a boss anymore. I'm a CEO, which is really good.
I like that. That
was really good. While you want all the titles, I need just this one title. This was something that Toni Storm said. And then shit hit the fan. She said, if you want to ride the money train through the Toni tunnel, I hope you can get deep enough.
Yeah.
And then Mercedes said, not even your hips are wide enough for the money train. So when Toni Storm delivered that Toni tunnel bit, you can see that it popped Mercedes so much because she like
she turned her head. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, she turned her head. Toni said, "You may be the greatest of all time, but I'm timeless."
That was a hell of a line. That was a hell of a line. Yeah,
I can't wait for this match. And listen. This is for everyone in AEW. If you're going to go ahead and make Moxley retain his championship versus Hangman Page, you better make this the main event.
Yeah.
Just
well, that'll tell me a lot though too. If they make this the main event and the other one, I'd be like, shit, there's a chance Hangman doesn't win.
If Hangman isn't winning the championship.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's not, it's no.
Yeah.
I surely hope so. But we can finish the show with talking about the anarchy in the arena.
Yeah. So what do you think of let the bodies hit the floor?
Okay. So the way it happened was really good because, okay, the Young Bucks are the founding fathers now. And I hope that they ditch the Young Bucks, name and just call themselves the Founding Fathers. Because they're like close to 40 years now. And it's really funny that they're the Young Bucks still.
Yeah.
I always wondered what their names will be when the time comes. And the Founding Fathers actually fits.
Yeah, it does. I'll give you that.
And I have no idea how both of them, and nobody gives them props for this, and I adore the Young Bucks. And I just gonna go ahead and be the one to give them all the praise about that. They wrestled that entire match in that full gear with the jackets and the tights and everything and the shirt. That entire match, in that entire outfit, the Founding Father outfit, no one gave them praise for that.
Well, I saw some people online did, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, okay, sure. I'm glad that someone did, because I saw no one. And they should get all the praise for that. Eddie Kingston, which I didn't expect, to be honest. The thing that kind of was iffy for me was I thought that Gabe Kidd was going to have way more involvement in the match.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go ahead and think that if Gabe Kidd, they lost the match because Gabe Kidd didn't have much to do with the match. That's how I choose to look at it. So Marina Shafir chaining Willow by her flesh tunnel through her ear.
Uh-huh.
I hate that spot every time. I hate it every time they do it to Jeff Hardy. I hate it here. And I know it's for the shock factor. It definitely gave me shock because never. I have flesh tunnels and that's painful even to watch. So they got out a stapler. And of course, if Swerve Strickland is in the match, there's going to be a stapler. So they stapled Matt's balls. And then Marina Shafir stapled Swerve's tongue. And at the end of the match, he showed it in front of the camera and it was still there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I have all these piercings and I have a tongue piercing too. And that's still kind of... that's still kind of stinged. So they put thumbtacks in Kenny's mouth and they gave him a EVP trigger.
Yeah.
So the song that was playing was, Young Bucks' founding father song with the flutes and everything. And then Kenny was like, stop that shit. And then they put, left so excited and I just can't hide. And him and Swerve just started vibing to the song. And I'm like, okay. So because before every Anarchy in the Arena match, that's what I'm wondering, which song is going to be playing. And then Kenny got on the microphone and was like, that's good and all, but let's play some 90s alternative rock. And I got a boner.
Okay.
Because I love it when Kenny plays good music. So Drowning Pool starts playing and I'm like, so if ever was a reason for me to love Kenny Omega more, I love the guy. I remember this was from an episode of BTE again, and he gave praise to a fan on his meet and greet table. He was wearing a Machine Head t-shirt. I'm going to see Machine Head this summer in my hometown. And he was like, I love your music taste. Machine Head are really good. And I'm like, oh, fuck yes. So Kenny Omega is so good in the ring. And not only that, but he has a good taste in music. So it was a nice touch. I love the fact that it took Claudio to swerve into a speaker for that music to stop, which is funny because as if this little old speaker was the thing that was responsible for the song to be playing throughout the stadium. This was funny. So Gabe Kidd came with a briefcase. He attacked. The thing is that the ambulance was still on the ramp after the stretcher match between Briscoe and Ricochet. So Mark Briscoe came out, and what they did was they shoved all the members of the Death Riders into the ambulance. And this left Kenny and Swerve in the ring with the Young Bucks. And they just pretty much killed him. Kenny Omega delivered a one-winged angel to Matt Jackson through a table with electric cable on it. And then Swerve did a swerve stop on Nick Jackson with thumbtacks in his new shoes. And that's how the match ended. This was so good. Incredibly entertaining from minute one to minute last. I enjoyed every second of this match. I feel like every Anarchy in the Arena match delivers. All of the Stadium Stampede matches. I don't know, because we're about to see 4-hour Dynamites, correct?
Well, just like this week, yeah.
1 or 2 weeks?
I thought it was just one. Maybe are they doing more than 1 week? I don't know.
Is Bryn here?
Yeah, Bryn.
Bryn alert. Need to
make that Bryn alert tag.
Yes.
I thought it was only 1 week, but
what was the question?
I think it's just Fighter Fest. I think it's Fighter Fest is just 4 hours. That one. I don't think they have another Dynamite that's 4 hours.
Is
after
it
that.
Only one Dynamite 4 hours long, or is it two Dynamites, consecutive Dynamites that are 4 hours long? This was the question. Shout out to Speedball versus Okada. Yes, Supi brings that up. What an amazing match that was. I was so right when I said that this was
there we go. Summer Blockbuster will also be 4 hours. But is that the week after? Anybody? Let's see.
I'm gonna go to
AW tickets and see what we got going on. Holy hell, it is the week after.
So yes, July. So two Dynamites in a row for 4 hours. Yes, pay attention, Rob, while watching the show.
Well, I mean, it's kind of weird. They still have AEW Collision listed on June 4th. I don't know. It's confusing as all hell.
Yeah, so people are asking if they're going to take advantage of the four-hour block and just do a blood and guts match. And I'm like, right after Anarchy in the Arena? Why? No. I don't think it's I think it's too early for blood and guts.
God, they got big shows coming up. I mean, they have that. They have AEW Grand Slam Mexico.
Yes, they do. Yeah, so at Fyter Fest, Kenny Omega is going to defend the international title. They have qualifiers. And one of the qualifiers was won by Brody King. I did not see that coming at all. I thought for sure that Josh Alexander was winning that one. And then Brody King won, and I'm so glad because that entire audience will eventually tear the house down if Brody King doesn't get, you know, some wins. So, yeah, they did have Paragon losing to the family. Kyle Fletcher beat Kyle O'Reilly. I want that one-on-one match. I know I've seen it before, but I want it again. That's Kyle Fletcher versus Kyle O'Reilly. Give me that, please. A wonderful, wonderful match. So they continued the attack. So Brody, Ishii, and Tanahashi made the save. I know that this is probably something that we're going to do at Forbidden Door, just for them to show, you know, Tanahashi on our screens. I miss Buddy Matthews a lot. I miss Buddy. Just could you heal up faster, please?
Yeah, hurry up.
Hurry up, damn it.
We do have a super chat from our good friend Soupy. He says, imagine if Swerve wins the All In Gauntlet for the world title shot contract. Oof. All right. I'll take it.
Fuck, man. Well, I don't know what you're trying to do to me, but like, no, I don't think it's gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be Swerve. But are they gonna have a All In Gauntlet? I know that they.
Oh,
have
sure. They will. I assume they will. Anyways.
Yeah, I also assume they will. So.
But they haven't announced it by any means.
Yeah. So again, Double or Nothing was for the Sickos. What a wonderful show that was. Amazing.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. So something else too that I wanted to mention that is kind of funny. So we talked about it earlier about the counter programming and stuff like that. So it sounds like the NXT let's see here. I just had the date. So it looks like the NXT on maybe it's August 19th, we'll be at the 2300 arena in Philadelphia. And then a week later, you have AEW Dynamite taking place at the ECW arena, 2300 arena rather. That's when they start their tour, their residency, where they'll be there for six or seven shows, maybe. Yeah, six or seven shows. They'll be doing three Dynamites and two Collisions, I want to say, or maybe three Collisions. Yeah, they're doing three Dynamites and three Collisions in a Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
Okay.
But it's just funny, WWE's going there a week before, just like out of the blue.
I just find it funny.
That's all I'm saying.
By accident or?
I don't think so. Like, it doesn't make sense for them to just schedule, like, it just, my thing is if it, for it to happen like then, it's just kind of weird. Like it was done for that reason, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, and true, Clown's right. AEW did it with GCW. They did.
Exactly. So exactly.
I will give them that. So, and like, again, as I said, beginning of the show, I don't like it, but from a business standpoint, I get it. Hey, look who stopped by for a super chat. Chris Doc Mueller from Bleacher Report stopped by and says, hello all. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate you. And check out Chris's work on Bleacher Report. He has a... Who did he interview last? Was it Ospreay?
Oh, man. He interviewed Ospreay. That's right.
Yeah, I think maybe it was Ospreay. It might have been somebody else, but I think it was Ospreay.
Yes.
So, yeah. Man, you want to plug your shit?
Absolutely. Guys, thank you for bearing with us throughout 90 minutes of this show. We had a lot of wrestling this past week. Please be sure to follow me on Twix or Twitter, X, whatever, at Maggie_IK, on Instagram at Maggie.IK, on Blue Sky at Maggie-IK. Please leave a like on the video. It helps us out a lot. And after you've done watching the show, please leave a comment below what you thought about this past week's wrestling. What are you most looking forward to? All In, what are you most looking forward to? Evolution, that is coming right up. Do you have any surprises planned out, or, you know, daydream about AJ Lee coming back probably or something? Leave all of your thoughts below. It helps us a lot with the awful algorithm that absolutely hates Fightful, because we have shows every week. While you're on this lovely channel, Fightful Overbook, please subscribe and please tune in to the Spotlight, to Wrestling Made Me Cry, and In the Weeds almost every day here on the show. Please subscribe to Fightful Select also. Thank you so much for joining us. Rob?
Yeah, guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob, and on Instagram as at Fightful Rob. It's easy for me to say. And before we go, I'll just say what's on tap for SmackDown tonight. You have Cody Rhodes and John Cena returning. You also have two Money in the Bank qualifier matches going on. The first one that I'll talk about is Andrade, Jacob Fatu, and Carmelo Hayes. And the other match is Jade Cargill, Nia Jax, and Naomi in a Money in the Bank triple threat qualifying match. So you got those two, and they are advertising Bianca Belair as a homecoming in Knoxville. So there you go. But yeah, that's SmackDown for tonight. Want to say thank you again to everybody who joined us today, or whether you listen later, we truly do appreciate you. Because of you, we get to do fun stuff like that and like this. But yeah, you have Money in the Bank and World Collide next week. I know we'll be doing a Money in the Bank prediction show. Predictions. World Collide will do what we can, or do what we know, at least. But yeah, because neither one of us are familiar with AAA, really. I mean, I know a lot of the wrestlers, but it's been a long time since I watched a AAA show. I think the last one I watched, Killer Cross, was main eventing, I think.
Did you see the meltdown that Alberto Del Patron had on television?
Yes,
I know it's a shoot. I know it's a shoot. You know, not a shoot. I know it's in kayfabe.
Yeah.
But when he slipped on the rug, I cackled so loud at work.
Yeah. No, it was good.
He beat up Vikingo's father. So, yeah.
But guys, that's it for coexisting this week. Tonight, you can check out the SmackDown post show with Kate and Alexis Cardoza, they'll be on.
My favorite post show guys, please tune in to the fight for the SmackDown post show. My favorite post show.
Yeah, and you got all kinds of other things. We have tons of interviews available on Fightful.com. John's releasing some this week, so got that going on. So a lot of stuff going on, but want to say thank you again, everyone. We will see you next week for a new edition of Coexisting. Peace out, everyone. Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.